The half-formed plan he had made had been right. He looked at the cliffs on the far side of the gorge. If he blew one of them down to fill the breach, would the concussion also rip out the rest of the dam? The defense cable also ran along those cliffs. He did not dare sacrifice that, too. Angus's voice on the mine radio.
First stage of firing is complete. Ready to shut down.
Shut down,
said Johnny into his mine radio.
Powerhouse, take the power off. Storm along, fly them.
The sizzle of the armor cable vanished. There was a patter of burst shell fragments, dead birds and leaves, and they dropped to the ground, no longer held there by the ionization armor. The planes took off with a blasting roar. Johnny had spotted an unused flying platform, and he stepped aboard and hit the console. He went streaking out over the dam and lake, heading for the tops of the far cliffs. Dwight was there. Johnny eyed the texture of the rock in the cliffs. He estimated the rush and flow of water, which must be occurring at this side, bottom of the lake. His task was to dump enough rock off these cliffs into the lake and get it carried into that break to plug it. A tricky calculation. Three holes. He needed to drill three holes, each about 100 feet deep and each at an exact angle. These would be at the points where the cliff must be sheared off. He pointed, racing along back of the cliff edge. One, two, three. About 200 yards up lake from the dam, down at an angle of about 15 degrees from the vertical. Men got the portapack drills in operation. They were usually used to deep core a vein, but they could drill a fast hole. Fast enough? He only had 2 hours. The cable. This section lay closer to the lake than they were drilling. He mustn't sacrifice it. If left where it was, it would get severed by any blast and slide into the lake.
Storm along!
Yelled Johnny. The pilot had just climbed out of a mine passenger plane.
What's the biggest motor we've got here now?
Stormalong looked at the planes. They had brought over four. One was a marine attack plane. Stormalong pointed at it.
Get some technicians down to this end of the dam! There's a cable junction box there, according to this old defense map! Get them to unhook it! And then you put a heavy line on that end and fly this whole section of it out of the ground and dump it up there!
This was right where Stormalong lived. What a crazy idea! To take the unfastened cable end and secure it to a plane and fly the plane southwest up the lake and tear the cable out! He needed no further instructions. He knew the weight of a tenth of a mile of cable might well crash the plane. He'd put a quick-release trip on it. He sent technicians racing to disconnect the dam end of it. Johnny looked at the drills. There were armored bits, and they could stand an awful lot of heat. But they were smoking. How fast could they drill? He looked at his watch and saw how many sections they were down already. This was going to be close. Up the lake, 5 miles away, the old mine hand that Dwight had sent and two assistants were sliding and slithering around in the silt beside the battleship wreck. They were sinking almost to their hips. The flying platform they had taken had to be reflown by its operator every few minutes to prevent it from simply sinking out of sight in the ooze. What a gigantic wreck! No wonder they couldn't put those down in atmosphere. They must assemble them on that moon, Asart, above Tolnep. Probably they flew the pieces up there section by section. Only intricate calculations of planetary gravity and gravitic force flows would let those things fly at all. He wondered, for a sad moment, whether Glencannon's body was in there somewhere. But even a Mark 32 couldn't stand up to that internal blast. That ship was really a graveyard. There must be charred chunks of 1,500 Tolneps in that twisted, blackened wreck. How long was it? 2,000 feet? 3,000? Hard to tell from here. So much was buried. But it was sure making a great dam. One would have thought it would have buried itself deeper. Then he saw what really was the case. It had made a sort of crater, and it was the crater edge that was restraining the water.